In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. During these days, we are celebrating the descent of the Holy Spirit on the disciples, and how the Holy Spirit worked through the disciples in establishing the Church of God. And that's why we are now fasting, commemorating the ministry of the disciples that was inspired and motivated and guided and led by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is still active in the church. Until today, the Holy Spirit is working very powerfully in the church. And actually, when we study the church history, we are not just studying historical events, but actually we are studying the work of the Holy Spirit in the Church of God. How the Holy Spirit is working through the centuries and establishing the Church of God here on earth. And there are many chapters in the Holy Scripture spoke about the Holy Spirit. But tonight, I'd like to focus on one chapter from the letter of St. Paul to Romans, chapter 8, in which the St. Paul said about the Holy Spirit, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. But before I reflect on this verse and how the Holy Spirit helps in our weaknesses, I want to mention many functions and many activities of the Holy Spirit in our life. And again, I will choose some functions of the Holy Spirit in our life that St. Paul mentioned in Romans chapter 8. So my focus is on this chapter, Romans chapter 8. The first activity of the Holy Spirit in our life is to set us free from the law of sin and the law of death. We read in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The Old Testament, the law was given to me. And if I fulfill the law, I will be justified. If I fulfill the law, I will be justified. And nobody was able to fulfill the law. Nobody did not break even at least one commandment. That's why the law that was given to me in order to be justified by it, the same law became a source of death to me. Because when I break this law, I am condemned to death. So the law that was given in order to justify me and in order to give me life was found to be also a source of condemnation and death to me. But in the New Testament, when God sends us the Holy Spirit, and when we are born of the Spirit in the mystery of baptism, and when we are walking by the Spirit, so the law of the Spirit in Jesus Christ set me free from the law of sin and death. Because the Spirit takes from what is belonging to Christ and give it to me. As the Lord said, He will take from what is mine and give it to you. The Spirit will take from the holiness of God, of Christ, the righteousness of Christ, and give to me. And that's why, even when I break the law, I break the commandment of God, the Holy Spirit takes from the holiness of Christ and gives me through the sacraments of the church, through repentance, through communion, I will be justified. That's why St. Paul said, the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And in this way, as he said in verse 4, the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Because of this, the righteous requirement of the law will be fulfilled. Because now I am walking according to the Spirit. It is the Spirit of God who guides me, who leads me to fulfill the righteous requirement of the law. So, number one, it sets me, or He sets me free from the law of sin and death. Number two, He will fulfill in me the righteous requirement of the law. Number three, in verse 6, He said, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the Holy Spirit will give me life and peace when I am filled with the Holy Spirit, and when I yield myself to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, He will give me life and peace. Not only that, but also it will raise me from the death in the last day. I will be raised into the resurrection of life. As we read in verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. He is saying, as the Holy Spirit raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead in the third day, in the same way, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, He will raise you from death in the second coming of Christ. Also the Holy Spirit will help me to put to death our members of the flesh. As we read in verse 13, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." By the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body. You can only put to death the deeds of the body through the Holy Spirit. Also, the Holy Spirit leads the children of God, as we read in verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." Also, the Holy Spirit bears witness that we are the children of God. As we read in verse 15 and 16, "The Spirit in Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." And finally, receiving the Holy Spirit was like down payment that our bodies will be redeemed. So, by receiving the Spirit, there is assurance, there is guarantee. If we are led by the Spirit, then we will be redeemed in the last day. As we read in verse 23, "Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." So in these verses, St. Paul mentioned 8 activities or 8 functions for the Holy Spirit in our life. Number one, He sets me free from the law of sin and death. Number two, He fulfills in me the righteous requirement of the law. Number three, He gives me life and peace. Number four, He will raise me from the death in the last day. Number five, He will put to death the deeds of the body, so I will walk by the Spirit. Number six, He will lead me, because it is the Spirit of God who leads the children of God. Number seven, He will bear witness of me that we are children of God. And if we are children, then we are heirs. We will inherit the kingdom of God. And number eight, because we received the first fruit of the Spirit, then we will be eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. And then, after he mentioned these 8 functions of the Holy Spirit, he added one more function, or one more activity, which is the Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses. The Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses. In verse 26, St. Paul said, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." What St. Paul meant by saying the Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses. He started this verse by saying, likewise. Because he used this connecting word, likewise, so he is trying to connect this with something else, with something he said before. Likewise. What he is trying to connect here? In verse 18, he was speaking about the suffering in the flesh. He said, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So, St. Paul here is saying that in our present time, in our life on earth, we will face many hardships and many sufferings. And St. Paul was trying to encourage the people how to endure such sufferings. So he gives them many reasons why we should endure such suffering. For example, he told them, if you want to compare the suffering with the glory, you will find that these suffering are nothing if you compare it to the glory that we will receive in eternal life. Because the sufferings are temporary, but the glory is temporary, is permanent. The suffering is little, but the glory is great. That's why he said, the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So he was giving them hope. He wanted to switch their focus from the suffering into the hope of eternal life. And when we switch our focus on the hope of the eternal life and the glory of eternal life, then it will be easy for us to endure such sufferings. But there is another reason why we will be able to endure such suffering. It is because the Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses. That's why he said, likewise, the Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses. So, during the time of infirmity, during the time of suffering, during the time of hardships, the Holy Spirit is there to help me and to support me. In what way? How the Holy Spirit helps me in my weakness? Usually, during the time of weaknesses, we become so confused. We become so confused about what God wants me to do. What is the will of God during this suffering? For example, if I am sick, if I have diseases, many people are confused. What should I pray for? Many people pray for healing, but maybe this is not the will of God. So, in the time of weaknesses, we don't know what to pray for as we ought to. not as we will, but as we ought to. Let me give you an example to make it clear to you. Some fool, he had thorn in the flesh. This thorn in the flesh was sickness. His arms were so weak, and he had ulcers. Some biblical scholars say these ulcers were in his eyes, like corneal ulcers, and others say he has ulcers all over his body. So whether he has ulcers all over his body or in his eyes, beside his weak vision, this was the thorn in the flesh. And this was weakness, a weak point in the life of St. Paul. And St. Paul thought that if God healed him from this thorn of the flesh, this will help him to be more effective in his ministry. Can you imagine, with his weak eyes, he wrote 14 letters. If St. Paul did not have this problem, how many letters would he write? Maybe more. Because he couldn't write by himself, he was asking some people to type for him or to write for him. And also, if his body was well, he can do more travel, and he can, his ministry will be more powerful. That's why he thought that it is the will of God to heal him from his sickness in order to be more effective in his ministry. And he prayed 3 times for God to heal him from the thorn in the flesh. But the answer that he got from God was completely different than what he prayed for. God told him, no, it is not my will to heal you. I want you to remain sick. You know why? Because my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. If you are not weak, you may fall in vainglory and self-pride. But when you are weak, you will rely on me. If you are not weak, you will trust yourself, you will trust your talents, you will trust your abilities, and you will fall in pride. So, this thorn in the flesh is for your benefit, because this will make you to trust my grace. My power, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. That's why St. Paul came to this conclusion. When we are weak, we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. We are confused. Should we pray for healing or not? I'm confused. And what if I pray for healing, and healing is not for my benefit? And God answered my prayer, and then I fall in pride. This would be a big problem for me. So I don't know what I should pray for as it ought. Another experience St. Paul shared with us was in Philippians chapter 1, verse 22 and 24, about this uncertainty or confusion. What should I pray for? He was in prison, and there were two desires in his heart. But he didn't know for which one he should pray. What are these two desires? In Philippians chapter 1, verse 22, he said, "For I am hard pressed between the two." He is hard pressed between two desires. One desire is having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. While he was in prison, he said, and he had this desire, you know, if I die and I go to Christ, this would be far better than all the suffering that I am facing right now in prison. This was one desire. But there was also another desire in his heart. Verse 24, "Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." He knows as a father that his spiritual children need him. So he was hard pressed between these two desires. One desire, he wants to die or to be martyred and to go with Christ. This is far better than all the suffering that he is facing here on earth. But there is another desire. He wants to remain alive. Why? Not for himself, but because his children, his spiritual children, need him. And he was confused for which desire he should pray. Should I pray to depart and be with Christ, or should I pray to remain here for my spiritual children? Many times we are confused and we have uncertainty about for which desire we should pray, especially when we are seeking the will of God, not my own will. Because, for example, in sickness and in diseases, my own will is to get healed. I'm sure all of us, when we are sick, our own will, our own desire to be healed. But it will be difficult for me to know what is the will of God. Does God want me to be healed, or he doesn't want me to be healed? So if I am seeking the will of God, many times I'll be confused and I don't know what to pray for. If there is a beloved one who suffers from terminal disease, sometimes we don't know what we pray for. Should we pray for him to be healed? Or we should pray that God may take his spirit and relieve him from all the suffering of sickness and diseases. And actually, in the prayer of the unction of the sick, we pray for both. We say, if this is your will to heal him, then grant him healing and recovery. But if it is your will to take his soul to you, let this happen by the angels of peace, to present his soul before your holy throne. This again shows us that in many, many times we don't know how or what we should pray for as it ought to be. And here St. Paul is giving us assurance. If you are uncertain, if you are unsure, if you are confused about what to pray for, one of the main functions of the Holy Spirit is to help us during this time, and He will guide us in our prayer. That's why He said, likewise, the Holy Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. When we are confused, when we don't know what we should pray, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. How the Holy Spirit help us during this time of confusion, during this time of weaknesses and uncertainty? St. Paul is telling us that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us when we don't know what to pray for, and when we don't know how to pray. And also, He makes intercession for us because He knows the will of God. As He said in verse 27, now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He, the Spirit, makes intercession for the sins according to the will of God. So, when we are confused and we don't know what to pray for or how to pray, the Holy Spirit, who knows the will of God, will make intercession for us. When there are many things we are sure that is the will of God and we are not confused about it. For example, when we pray for the forgiveness of sins, when we pray for the salvation of others, when we pray for the kingdom of God, when we pray for the life of holiness and righteousness, we know that this is the will of God. There is no confusion about such prayers. But as I explained, the confusion will come when there is weaknesses and we are uncertain about which direction we should pray. Here the Holy Spirit will pray, will intercede, make intercession for us. How the Holy Spirit will make intercession? St. Paul answered this question by saying that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He will make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So here, I want to ask a question about these groanings. Are these groanings, are the groanings of the Holy Spirit or our own groanings? Definitely, these are not our own groanings, because He said the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groaning. But also, I cannot say these groanings are the groanings of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit can communicate and can express clearly the will of God. He doesn't need to speak with groanings. So these groanings are neither ours or the Holy Spirit. Then, what are these groanings? These groanings are the groanings of us that is inspired and guided and directed and written by the Holy Spirit. So these groanings are not ours, not purely ours, no. But these groanings are our own groanings that are inspired and written and guided by the Holy Spirit. What does this mean? The person will feel within himself that I want God to be glorified. I want the will of God to be done. But I don't know which way I choose. So the Holy Spirit will give you in your heart these feelings, these groanings, these unuttered groaning within your heart, that you are longing for the will of God, you are longing for His glory to be done, but you cannot express it, you cannot say it, you cannot utter it, because you don't know which way you are choosing. So, here when we pray about such things, we will say with St. Paul, I am hard pressed between two desires. One desire to depart and be with Christ, this is far better. But the other desire to remain in the flesh, which is needful for you. This actually was the groaning of the Holy Spirit in the heart of St. Paul. He wants the will of God, but he didn't know which one, but the Holy Spirit guided him. Because St. Paul, after saying this, he said, and being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy or faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Although he was confused, but the Holy Spirit clarified this confusion and he told him, no, it is not right now that you will depart and be with Christ. Your people need you, so you will remain in the flesh and they will see you and they will rejoice in seeing you, and this will help them to grow and progress in their spiritual life. Although he was confused, but the Holy Spirit, when St. Paul was praying which way to choose, the Holy Spirit guided him and placed in his heart these groanings that he couldn't utter, but he was longing for the glory of God. He was longing for the will of God to be done. And then the will of God became clear to him that he will remain in the flesh. He will not depart right now. It is not the time for his martyrdom, but it is the time for him to remain in order to support, strengthen, make the people progress and grow in their faith and their spiritual life. So, when we are confused, when we have uncertainty, let us ask the Holy Spirit to help us in discovering the will of God. Because, as St. Paul said, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit will guide you, will help you to make your prayer according to the will of God. Thy will be done, not my will be done. Knowing that, this will give us some peace, especially during the time of our weakness. How? At least there are four reasons why we become peaceful during the time of weaknesses, during the time of confusion, during the time of uncertainty. There are four reasons why we should be peaceful at the time. And this explains to us how the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. The first reason, it is okay that sometimes in our life we don't know for sure what the will of God is. Many people think or believe, if we don't know what the will of God is, then we are far away from God. We are not spiritual a person. But St. Paul is telling us, no. There are some times we are confused and we don't know what is the will of God. As he was confused about the thorn in the flesh. So, if you are confused or if you are uncertain about the will of God, don't worry. Don't feel that you are away from God. It is just natural. It is just normal. It happens with everybody. It happened with St. Paul before you. Number two, during this time of confusion and uncertainty, God will not be against you. He will not hold this weakness against you, but he will be with you and for you, and the Holy Spirit will make intercession for you. Many times we feel that when we are weak, then God is holding this against me, to judge me, to punish me, to condemn me. But St. Paul is telling you exactly the opposite. During the time of weaknesses and confusion and uncertainty, God is not against you, but he is for you, to help you and to support you. He's not watching your weaknesses, but he is supporting your weaknesses. And number three, that the response of God does not depend on your words or on your expression. But God will respond to you more than what you are asking for or what you understand. What do I mean by this? St. Paul asked for healing. And according to his understanding, healing will help him in ministry. But God did not respond according to St. Paul's words or understanding. But he responded to St. Paul according to his will, which was much, much better than the will of St. Paul. If St. Paul was healed, but fell in pride, He would lose his salvation and he would lose his eternal life. That's why God chose not to heal him in order to save him eternally. That's why in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, St. Paul said, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." God is doing abundantly more than what we ask or think. And these are the words that we say in the liturgy of Saint Gregory, who gives us more than what we ask or we think. Maybe you ask something wrong for ourselves, but because of the groaning of the Holy Spirit within me, that I am seeking the will of God, I am seeking His own glory, that's why God will give me more than what I ask or I think. More than my understanding, but He will give me according to His own His own goodwill. And finally, I am not alone during the time of weakness, but the Holy Spirit makes intercession for me. And because He makes intercession for me, and He knows the will of God, because He is God, so the Father will respond and will answer the prayer of the Holy Spirit on my behalf. He will answer the intercessions of the Holy Spirit on my behalf instead of answering my wrong prayer, because I don't know what to pray for as it ought. So knowing that the Holy Spirit is with me and for me during the time of weaknesses, this will give me peace. Even when I pray, even if I said the wrong prayer, the Holy Spirit will not leave me, but He will make intercession within my heart with groaning that cannot be uttered. But the key point here is to submit yourself to the work of the Holy Spirit, is to be under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. When you are under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and when you surrender yourself completely to the work of the Holy Spirit, here the Holy Spirit will make intercession for you, especially in the time of your weaknesses. And God will answer the prayers of the Holy Spirit on your behalf. He will answer the groaning of your heart that cannot be uttered. And He will not answer my wrong prayers and my wrong words, as He did not answer the prayer of St. Paul, when he asked for healing 3 times. And God told him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." So, while we are celebrating in these days the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, let us praise Him and glorify Him, because He supports us, He helps us during the time of our confusion, during the time of our uncertainty. He makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. He will pray on our behalf, and He will, because He knows the will of God, He will do the best for us. That's why St. Paul, after he said that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us, he concluded by saying, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." So trusting the Holy Spirit that He is making intercession for me, and He is praying for me, He is making intercession to the Father on my behalf, then everything will be for my good. Even if I don't understand it, or I don't comprehend it, or I did not ask for it, as long as I am under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and I submit myself to the Holy Spirit, and I am longing to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then everything will work for my good. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.